Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Thank you, Brian Maines, for that introduction, and thank you to Adams Road for that musical introduction. Glad you could be with us for Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and I'm honored to have as my guest again today, Brian Hurlbut, my pastor from Lifeline Community. You've probably heard Brian speak as his show comes on right before Viewpoint on Mormonism at 9:30 in the morning on KUTR. And we are discussing Richard Mao's new book. Dr. Richard Mao is the president of Fuller Seminary, I should say. A book he wrote called Talking with Mormons, which kind of goes over his experience of the past decade or so of talking to academics. We are looking at some of the statements that he has made because some of the statements we find very troubling. I don't really think they help the Christian community better understand Mormonism, and I really don't think it helps the Mormon community better understand what Christianity is all about. And if that is the dilemma, then this probably wouldn't be a book that I would highly recommend. But anyway, in his book, on page 8, he has a subheading called You're Not Even Trying to Understand. And he relates a story, how he went to go hear Dr. Walter Martin. Now, if you've been involved in what is called the counter-cult movement, and you have studied anything about Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Scientology, any of those things, you don't study those kind of topics without knowing the name Walter Martin.
It's kind of the Don Corleone.
You might say that. And I never had an opportunity to really meet Walter Martin. I was speaking at a conference, and I was kind of like the warm-up band. I finished my presentation, and as I was stepping down off the platform, Dr. Martin was stepping up to give his talk. And that's probably the closest I ever got to him.
You were to Walter Martin what I am to you guys every day on the radio. Just the warm-up.
You're the warm-up band. Right. So, but I have read Walter Martin's writings, and they have been an incredible help. Now, I think because he died in the late 1980s, a lot of his references are kind of dated now. But it's not that a lot of what he was saying has actually changed when it comes to the theological positions of the very groups that he studied. I guess what irritates me in this chapter, Brian, is he takes these pot shots at the dead. Walter Martin's not here to defend himself. Right. And he's not done this once. He's done this several times. And he does it in the book several times. He talks about an experience where he was listening to Walter Martin and a Mormon was in the crowd. And the Mormon got up and was trying to offer his explanation. And Martin's response to the Mormon was frustrating him to the point where he says on page 9, the young Mormon finally blurted out with deep emotion, "You can come up with all of the clever arguments you want, Dr. Martin, but I know in the depths of my heart that Jesus is my Savior, and it is only through His blood that I can go to heaven." When I read that, the first thought that came to my mind is, wait a minute, Dr. Martin died in 1989. I was at his memorial service. I was there, okay? I don't recall anyone in the Mormon church using that kind of an expression until very recently. I don't remember Mormons writing me, telling me that Jesus is my Savior and it is only through His blood that I can go to heaven. That's a new response that I'm hearing. That's not one that I remember hearing when I first started my ministry. That's not one that I heard Bruce McConkie saying. That's not one I heard Mark Peterson, Apostle Mark Peterson saying, or Spencer Kimball. This is a more of a new expression, and I wonder, does Dr. Mao have a good memory on this?
A little anachronistic memory.
Yeah, because that's not an expression I remember, at least me talking with Mormons one-on-one. And so that, I would say, if that's what he really said, okay, if someone can produce a tape recording, I'm willing to listen to it, but it's not something I remember hearing when I first started in ministry years ago. But Walter Martin takes some shots in here, and have you read any of
I've not read Kingdom of the Called, so I'm familiar with the book, and it's sort of a classic and so forth. But Walter Martin takes a little bit on the chin just in general from people who have entered into a contemporary engagement, and I think part of that's unfortunate. And the part that's really unfortunate is it's really easy to take shots at people from the past who were speaking very relevantly, very accurately, very convincingly to the issues of their day. Walter Martin didn't write a book for 2012. He didn't. He wrote a book with a mood, with a disposition, with a cultural feel to relate to people in his era, 60s, 70s, 80s. And that was his target. And so it's really just not fair to sort of eisegete, if you will, to read into Walter Martin instead of exegeting Walter Martin and taking into account who he's talking to at his day, in his age, and at that time. And so, Mao uses this, and he tells his famous story at the end that I think you're going to get to about the Grackles and the Bluebirds.
The Grackles and the Bluebird, yes. He's told this story many times. It was actually published in Christianity Today back in 2007, I believe, because Dr. Martin's daughter, Jill Martin Rishi, wrote a response to it. And he tells the story about how Dr. Martin was walking with Donald Barnhouse, who was his mentor. Those guys were tight. And how Barnhouse was out hunting, and he had shot he was shooting at grackles. Now, grackles are a black bird that have like a blue neck and head that can easily be mistaken, I guess, at a distance for being a bluebird. And he was sad that he had accidentally shot a bluebird instead of the grackle. And he was using this as an analogy to Dr. Martin to be careful who you shoot at. And I understand that analogy. That's good advice. Be careful who you shoot at. You want to get your ducks in a row, using a bird analogy here, another hunting analogy. But you want to have your facts in line before you go after them. The problem I have with this whole analogy is, did Dr. Barnhouse think that Mormonism was a bluebird? I find no evidence of that. In fact, I would have to say, since Dr. Martin spent so much time and emphasis on the subject of Mormonism, that Dr. Barnhouse probably thought that the Mormon Church was a grackle.
Oh, in Barnhouse's day, it was a given.
Oh, yeah. And you have to understand, grackles are known for stealing. They are known for stealing food from other birds. That's one of the reasons why Barnhouse was whacking them. They were taking the food away from the bluebirds. And so he was out there shooting them. So if, in fact, he saw the Mormon Church as a grackle, I think Dr. Mao's whole story falls apart.
Well, the problem is Barnhouse, as a master illustrationist from his preaching, uses a great illustration to teach Walter Martin a great principle. That in and of itself in isolation is fantastic. The problem, of course, is that Mao does what Mao does throughout the book. This is one in a series of, at least that I've counted, six false analogies that he makes repeatedly in his appeals throughout the book. And this is a real serious intellectual and philosophical deficiency in the book. And this is just the beginning of those false analogies, and unfortunate that he would take that stance.
Well, Jill Martin Rishi, in her response, and this can be found on waltermartin.com, she mentions how her father said, "I love Mormons. I love Jehovah's Witnesses. I love the people in the cult. I care. I'm fighting for their lives, for their souls. That's love. Love isn't this sickly, gooey, syrupy garbage that flows out where people are forever saying with this plastic evangelical smile plastered to their faces, 'Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. We want you to be born again.' Butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. In the name of God, people are dying in their sins. You have to tell them more than Jesus loves you. You have to tell them Jesus is going to judge them. If they are not going to receive love, they're going to receive justice. As long as we do not tell the whole story, the world will tolerate us. But if we tell the world the whole truth, it will hate us as it hated him. Controversy is part and parcel of the Christian heritage. You cannot escape it if you truly want to serve Jesus Christ."
It's a reduction of the stumbling stone to a pebble. To take Jesus and reduce him, who Paul and Peter allude to as this stumbling stone that the lost will stumble over, and you reduce him to a pebble that can be swiped away. And that's the last thing that can be utilized to bring somebody to Christ. To come to Christ, you have to come away from yourself. And to come to Christ, you've got to come to grasp the true qualities and properties of his character, of his nature. And that's why this book, and I don't want to demonize Richard Mao. My sense is that Richard Mao wants to see Latter-day Saints come to Christ. However, the method and mode that he is expressing and modeling and desiring other people to follow in, I think, is just as toxic as can be. And it really is cutting off his own nose despite his face.
Now, he accuses those in the counter-cult movement and others of demonizing Mormonism. But doesn't he kind of do that with the very people that
Absolutely.
He criticizes in the book?
Absolutely, he does. A small section of the book on page 17, typically the counter-cult people note the doctrines that Mormons deny and then simply warn us against Mormonism on that basis. I've decided to pursue a more probing approach, to ask Mormons to clarify what it is they're denying and what teachings they're offering as an alternative to traditional Christian doctrines. One of the main reasons I've written this book is to explain why I think this is an important thing to do. More to come about this. And I wrote down in the margins below, wow, total hubris. Counter-cult people don't converse to understand?
Oh, I know. When I read that, I had the same kind of feeling. I mean, I have spent my life dialoguing back and forth, either face-to-face on the streets or in emails, asking questions of Latter-day Saints. And that was the one criticism he offered in 2004 when he spoke at the Tabernacle and offered his apology for us bearing false witness. He says, we don't ask Mormons what they believe. That is not part and parcel of the people I hang around with.
Right.
The circles that I run, we are always doing that because we know it's a false way of approaching someone to use a straw man argument and assume that somebody believes something they really don't.
That's because you're trying to reach people, not redeem a system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to reach people, you want to know what people think. And I know you, Bill, in your ministry and as a local pastor, well, that's one of the things I value the most. We're the generalist as the local church. Your role is the specialist who can probe a specific area and specific dynamic and really zero in on those central issues.
Well, I think it's absolutely essential that you do that. And so we do ask the questions. And unfortunately, it's the answers we are hearing that causes us so much trouble. And this is why we pursue what we're doing.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to this sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.